I said, if you can't make the league, make your own. That's what we're doing. We're trying to make it feel like you're in the NBA.
Welcome to the American Grown Podcast, hosted by Austin Sullivan. The American Grown Podcast will focus on people from different walks of life and their journey to where they are now. Now, turn up your volume and settle in for a great episode.
This is the American Grown Podcast, recorded inside the ColorTech Creative Solutions Studios. Today, we have Johnny Besseker, president of BAL, which stands for Besseker American League. Johnny, welcome to episode 70 of the American Grown Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for bringing me. You brought me a pair of socks, a pair of nice white socks with the logo, and I really appreciate that, man. It means a lot.
Yeah, well, I tried to get you something that would be, you know, everybody can utilize a nice pair of socks.
Oh, so. Exactly. Yeah, I got some holy pairs right now that I should probably throw out, so this will work. Yeah,
a nice replacement.
Exactly. So, real quick for the listeners, what is BAL, like, in depth? I know we mentioned it's the Besseker American League, but, like, what is it?
So I tried to create a league that is an amateur sports league that invites everybody, and it's not really focused on, you know, skill or expensive payments. So, you know, I always like to think of it as 99, those commercials of like 99.9% of high school athletes aren't going to go on to play college sports. And I think it's those 99.9% still want to play sports at some capacity. So I wanted to create an amateur sports league around here for not just basketball, but we do wiffle ball and football and, you know, include stats and teams have jerseys and Instagram pages and, you know, blogs, and just makes it feel like it's still a little professional and not just the other recreational leagues where you play against random people.
Yeah. It's more, redefined. It's more organized.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Which, yeah, I remember seeing on Instagram, just scrolling through, it had popped up your BBAL, which is Besseker Basketball American League.
Yeah, mouthful.
A mouthful. Exactly. Yeah. But that's when I first saw it. I was like, well, this is really cool. And I'm like, where's this out of? And then I was like, well, Lancaster County. That's right down the road.
Yeah.
And then that's kind of why I reached out, because I was like, this is really neat. Because like you said, the photography, the video that you had done on that page looked so professional.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, this guy's got something going on. This organization has something going on. Before we like dive into how the BAL got started and all that, you grew up, if I'm not mistaken, for the listeners that don't know, the Red Rose City, mm-hmm. aka Lancaster, or if you're not from around here, Lancaster. So yeah, tell me a little bit about your early childhood.
Yeah, so I grew up in Amish country, lived next to a farmer, but we have a great family. I have three siblings, an older brother, a younger brother, and a younger sister. And, you know, they're my best friends growing up. So I went to St. Anne's grade school, which doesn't exist anymore. I outlived my grade school, which kind of stinks. And then I went to Lancaster Catholic. And, you know, that's where it started my love for basketball, playing there. Graduated, went to St. Joe's in Philly, just graduated with a marketing degree this past May.
Congrats, man.
Which is, That's awesome. You know, it's not, it's crazy to think about, you know, when you're in high school, a lot of kids are going to college and it's just kind of the way it goes. You go to college, get a degree, but I wasn't 100% sure I'd be doing it. So it is cool now that I finally did it and, you know, can say I had that degree, and I think I'm trying to put it to good use with what I'm doing. If, you know, who knows what'll happen with this. At least I still have the degree in my back pocket.
Right, but, yeah. And marketing can go, you can do anything with marketing.
Yeah, a lot. You can do a lot.
Yeah, for real. So going to Lancaster Catholic,
mm-hmm.
right? They've always had, from what I remember, good teams. Football, basketball, track and field.
Yeah.
So like what sports did you play?
I just played basketball all 4 years. Now, my junior and senior year, I did play tennis, but that was kind of...
Okay.
You know, I think it was good to take a break from basketball, because when you focus so much on one sport at one time, it's, you know, it can get exhausting. So in the spring, I played tennis with a bunch of my best buds, and God bless those coaches at the tennis team. They probably hated me and my buddies, but we were just playing for fun.
For fun.
And it was something to get our mind off of basketball. And, they would have snacks for the players, and we'd steal all the snacks because we were just sitting on the bench the whole time, and they were meant for the players great. Playing. But yeah, honestly, some of my best sports memories would come from tennis, but you know, basketball was my pride and passion. We had some good squads when I was there, and it was funny enough, my sophomore year, we won the league championship against Lebanon. So,
whoa, yeah. Okay. So, what position? Because you're kind of tall.
I was more of a shooting guard. We had a really tall team my senior year. It was, you know, my senior year I thought was probably my favorite year, and I think everybody would say that. But I was just so lucky to be able to play with my best friends were on the team, which I think a lot of people refer to their teammates as just teammates, but. I mean, right now I could call up any of those guys and we could have a conversation and, you know, anything, get lunch together and we'd be cool. So I was lucky my senior year. It was always a thing with being my best friends every day. That's practicing.
Awesome. Yeah, because, I mean, I feel like then as a team, you mesh better. You play better because you're more than just teammates.
Yeah. For sure. No, we had great chemistry. I mean, I think that's what helped us a lot throughout the year. Not to get in depth to how the season went, but we started out a little short. And then we really started getting kicking towards the end of the year. We made the district championship. We lost, but that was a huge thing to play in the Giant Center there.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
As a kid, it's just, you know, it's insane to think you play in that big arena. And then we made it to the second round of states, which for our school, you know, we're not the biggest school. And to make a little bit of a run in states, I think any time you win one game in states is, you know, a feather in your cap.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And like you said, the Giant Center. So I didn't play basketball. I was a football guy and track and field. I was a thrower. But I remember covering here at Color Tech, we have Blue Cardinal Photography.
Yeah.
And I would cover sports. So I got to go to the Giant Center when Cedar Crest, gosh, back in the day, I forget the year, but Josh Bucher and some of these guys that I still kind of keep in touch with, well, they're just phenomenal players.
Yeah.
Evan Horn.
I was just going to say Evan Horn.
Everybody kind of knows in the LL League kind of knows about that. But getting a photograph at the Giant Center. And then also when Lebanon Catholic was still a thing, Patty Howard for the girls team, phenomenal coach. And it was just such a neat environment. Like you have the student sections. Which, like, sure, at your home games, like, they showed up, but at the Giant Center, it was, like, next level.
I think, you know, as a kid, you grow up, my cousin played, and he was, I'd say 6 years ahead of me, maybe seven, and he had one of his games in the Giant Center, and, you know, you're so captivated by playing in such a big arena, and there's so many people there that show up just because it's a game in the Giant Center, and you're always thinking, I need to get there, and lucky enough, my sophomore year, we made it, but I wasn't playing and I got to experience what it would be like, and we won. And then, you know, junior senior year, I was like, we need to make it there. And then senior year we made it, and it is just an unreal experience. And I'm so glad they even let you do it, because I hope they realize how much it means to those kids playing, because it's like it's almost a blur, because when you're there, you're just so excited, you almost black out for the 3 hours you're there, because you can't even believe you were there.
But
it's funny you bring up Evan Horn. I was just with my buddy yesterday who went to Hempfield, and he was saying that they run a defense against good players going forward. Like, this is still currently, they call it the Horn defense, because that's how good Evan Horn was. They had a specific defense against him.
Yeah.
And anytime they play another good player, they say, all right, we're going to do the Horn defense against
him.
So that's how much of an impact
Evan,
he had.
If you're listening, I think he listens, and those guys, that's phenomenal. Wow. Yeah.
I don't know if I should have said that.
I mean, just an athlete, that whole family, the Horn family, and, you know, just some great teams have come through Cedar Crest. Like I said, I'm an alumni there. And you mentioned, you know, Lebanon High School right down the road here. Great athletes there. Now, last couple seasons, their football and basketball teams have really been struggling. But I remember, like, when I was in school, I graduated in 2011. Like, man, those teams are good. You know, like when Cedar Crest played Lebanon, especially at Lebanon, like the environment there was just crazy. Just the volume too. People got so loud, and everybody showed up. It was like everybody came out to support both teams, and win or lose, it was a cool experience.
Yeah, Lebanon, I think my sophomore year, they had a player who I think is in the NFL now or was on a practice squad. He's a big kid, just to your point, there's a lot of talent that comes through. Just not only those schools, but the Lancaster-Lebanon League is
for sure.
There's a ton of people.
So basketball, that was your thing.
Yeah.
You know, that was your passion. Your mom and dad, they obviously they were supportive of it.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they're all in.
My mom is like the typical Care Bear, you know, anytime I come home from a game, it's you play great, sweetie. I love you. Give me a hug.
Yeah.
And my dad, and you know, like my dad's my best friend, but he'll tell me how it is if
he's straight up.
Yeah. Like, you know, if the stat sheet says I had like 11 points, but my dad will let me know about the two free throws I missed throughout the course of the game. Not that 11 points is a stud performance, but he was always finding something to pick out, which is great. You need that because then it motivates you the next game, something to work on. You're never perfect. But he was pretty much my coach. He never literally coached me in high school or grade school, but anytime I come home, give me advice. We grab dinner afterwards, tell me everything I need to do or what we should do differently. You know, you pick and choose as a son what you want to listen to.
Right. Oh, I know. Yeah, but, yeah, exactly.
The most supportive family ever. I mean, we pretty much had our own section. My grandfather would come to every game, aunts, uncles, my cousins, and then, you know, my brothers and sister are just like, I had the best support group ever, which I mean, I'll get into even with the BBALs there. I'm so blessed with that.
Yeah. So now, you know, college life, what was that like? And did you play? I don't know if you mentioned.
No, I just did intramural. Okay. It was kind of the reason I started the BBAL because when I left high school, I was longing for that feeling of, you know, we talk about the rich culture and history of the LL League and the people. And, you know, there's newspaper articles. It's the buzz of this town for 3 months out of the year when basketball's going on.
Definitely.
And, you know, when you play intramural basketball in college, it's like you're just going there playing against some other six probably hungover basketball players right, who used to play. And, you know, there's a ref there who's a volunteer who's getting paid maybe $12 to do the game for an hour, or just, you know, paying off his tuition. It's great. You're playing for a competitive outlet, but I could do that any day of the week I wanted with no effort. And same with rec leagues, like you're paying for it when it literally takes no effort. So I just did intramural, and that's what made me want to start the BBAL. Cause I was like, there needs to be something more when you're paying for something that makes you feel like there's something bigger than yourself and you're a part of it for those 3 months. But yeah, St. Joe's, I love the school, but freshman year was COVID. And that was, So I'll never forget. Everybody knows where they were when it happened, but I was on spring break. Spring break got extended a week, and I'm thinking, this is the greatest thing ever.
Week home. Yeah, this is awesome. Yeah.
And then, you know, then it turned into another month and a half, and then we'll be back. And then it turned into, you know, that whole year is off and you're online.
Yeah.
And then the next year was doing all classes online. And then junior, senior year is when it kind of started to be a college atmosphere.
What do you think of those online classes like that year you had to do them? Did you like it? Were you a fan of it? Or
I was a fan of it for my grades.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah.
You know, you get some, it's easier, but did I learn as much? As much as I hate to say this, you know, my dad, he's probably not going to be happy me hearing this and my mom, but I didn't learn as much. But I think there's some stuff in college. I'm not going to make an excuse for it. There's some times in college where you are taking classes or learning stuff that you don't necessarily need to learn or you're not going to use in life. But there were, you had to take them, which luckily it was earlier on in my college career that I got COVID happened and I got to use those for online classes where later on I'm taking my electives and stuff I want to learn.
Stuff you care about.
Yeah.
You
know, and then those are in person. So the online courses, I was a fan for my grades. I'll put it that way.
Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. I mean, that was COVID was a crazy time for sure. And, you know, a lot of bad came out of it, but it's interesting to hear like some people have in their personal lives, some good that came out and which it sounds crazy to even say that, but like there was some good that came out of it. So, you know, COVID hits, going to college, you know, you're looking for more of an organized, you know, well put together league, something that challenges you, but is yet fun, right?
Yeah. So I remember it was right after freshman year. It was sophomore year and we're getting through online classes and it's around March or April, I text my brothers because, funny enough, we did this league when we were in like fifth or sixth grade, and it was a minor level. We did it with kids who can't really be committed because they can't drive or make decisions for themselves.
Yeah, so it's hard to get players out and everything.
Yeah, and that's where I came up with the name, the Best Secure Basketball American League. It's a mouthful, but as a kid, you know, the BBAL, you think it sounds great. But we had people come out, we got jerseys and everything, and I tried to have my mom keep stats, but it's the tough ask for her to do. And
yeah,
so I told them, I said, I have an epiphany, like, let's try and do that again. And the first year we had six teams, 60 guys, and you know, we all wore the same color shirts, or at least attempted to. There was games where people were wearing the wrong color, and then the refs talked to me and they're like, hey, you need to get this guy to wear the right color. And I'm like, I try to tell him, I don't know what you want me to do. but yeah. And then the next year we got jerseys, which I think was a huge step for us in terms of, you know, growing the league visually as, you know, as a marketer on Instagram. You think about it and you see a league where people are wearing t-shirts and you're like, oh, that's cool, they're doing that. But you see jerseys and you start to think, oh, this more is official.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Which was a big investment, but my parents helped me out a ton with it. And I pitched them the idea and they said, all right, we'll let you, as a gift, you know, get you some of these jerseys for each team.
Oh, wow. So they like were all in on it. They're all
they helped what you're doing so much.
Yeah.
And then this past year we had 10 teams, 130 guys. And
wow.
It was unreal. And
that's
this
wild.
Yeah, this year, I mean, we got a ton of interest already. We have about 380 people who said they would be interested to play already.
Holy
cow. So we have registration coming up soon, which we got to figure out how we're going to go through that, which is a good issue to have. It's not.
Yeah. It's a good problem to have. Right. But wow, that's a lot of players.
Yeah.
Yeah. So back up just a little bit. So you tried doing this back in middle school, but obviously it didn't go well because it was hard to get kids and get them there on time and stuff like that. So this would have been 2020. Like, what year did you revamp it? 2021?
2021. Sorry. Okay. Yeah. And, you know, so I get this app that's called Easy Stats, and that's what we kept stats on. And my sister does every scoreboard for every game. Yeah, she's a huge help. She keeps the score, and, you know, she's a no BS type of girl. So if you have a complaint about the score, she's going to say, look, if I didn't see the points never happened
there
type
of
thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then my two brothers were captains in the league and ran their own teams. So that's how I kind of delegate. Because I can't keep track of 60 guys. So we had, with the six teams, we have a captain designated to each team that would...
Smart, yeah.
That would, you know, make sure people show up to games. If there's an issue, we have trades, so they can work through trades if they want to do those.
Trades, yeah.
We have a draft.
Wow.
So then they were doing that, and then my mom and dad just help out wherever they can. But this past year, my mom had help running our merch stand for socks.
Yeah, yeah, right. Like just socks. No, all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
My dad announced the games because he loves to announce.
Does he?
And he has a good voice, and it's fun. He has me make highlight tapes for him when he announces. So.
No way. That's awesome. Is there someone on Instagram?
I don't know if I ever posted any on Instagram.
I think you're
gonna
have to
hear him.
Now,
and, yeah.
You're going to have
now.
To do one of him. Yeah. Like get some video of him, some B-roll, whatever. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
That'd be awesome.
And then my girlfriend, she does the stats for every game with me. Except when I'm playing, it'll be me and her for every game. And then the one I play, we have to find somebody else. But she does an amazing job. If you see our website, are you familiar with like Power BI or like dashboards like that? It's beyond me.
Yeah, no.
So she created this.
But your website did look very nice, very clean. Organized. Yeah.
She made this stat dashboard where you can see, you know, I can go back to season one. My statistics against this team in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like that in depth. And it'll show me my averages. It'll show me how many, the most points I scored versus them versus the least amount. And it goes that in depth with what she was able to do. And it was amazing. So that's the kind of support group I'm working with
when it
comes to this league. So I'm beyond lucky. And that's why I've been able to grow it to where it is.
So, I mean, the whole family's involved. Everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
Even the girlfriend, right?
Yes.
You know, she sounds like she's brilliant, you know, with what she's doing. I can't even figure out Excel sometimes. So,
I'm with you.
Yeah. Wow. So, everyone's in on it. Everyone's involved. Now, like you said, to bring it up to going into the 2024 season, which when do your seasons start for like basketball, and then you have football and wiffle ball, I think?
Yeah, so we start, our basketball is like our summer season.
Okay.
So we start in May, end around late July, early August. And then wiffle ball, we started late September, ended in November.
Okay.
And then football was late November, and we ended in January. So we have, like, right now we're kind of in the middle period, which I wanted to do something else, but I think it was best to prep for this upcoming season since we have so much interest.
I'd say for sure. I mean, yeah, because you don't want to sacrifice like the quality and what you're doing, you know, to add another sport. This is just my opinion, you know, because then you're taking on so much, and you're already the president, so you're doing a lot of the behind the scenes stuff. You know, your family's all in on it, which is phenomenal to have that support system. But then, you know, you're also playing in it.
Yeah.
Like, so what is that like, being the president and also trying to ball out? Like, how do you balance that?
It's tough, just because, you know, for, well, I'll say we're there five hours of it, I'm making sure everything runs smoothly. And then that 1 hour I'm playing a game, but still in the back of my head, I'm like, all right, I need to make sure the live stream's still running. I need to make sure the cameraman's not going off and, you know, talking to people or getting a pizza, because I'm, you know, paying them by, not actually, but I'm paying them by the hour. I just need to make sure everything runs smoothly. And then occasionally a ref will call a foul that'll be favored for my team. And then it turns into, oh, he's paying the refs, that's why he's getting these calls. So, which is all fun and game. Like, I think it's funny.
Yeah.
It's tough, but I mean, I love it. I wouldn't have it any other way. Because I just, you know, it's something that I enjoy so much, and just being able to have the time and support group to still participate in it as well. I feel so lucky to
do
that.
And that's the whole point too, right? Like, why you started is because you wanted to play in it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever, did you ever have a vision of like this taking off and you being this president of what could turn into like, you know, the next NBA or you know, the NFL, really? I mean, for locally here in PA, it's really growing.
I had the idea. That was my vision. I don't know if I had as much faith in it as I believed. You know, you always had these big dreams, but when it starts to happen, it's like, did I, you know, really honestly think I get here? So, and we still have a lot to go. We still have huge steps, but this is just, this was what I wanted to happen. I want to make it a staple in Lancaster and, you know, maybe branch out into other areas, maybe merge up with these companies and these businesses. And, you know, hopefully one day get in contact with the NBA and they say, look, you know, we love what you're doing. We want to make not only the professional association, but an amateur association to get people involved.
Dude, that'd be wild.
You know, you think about it. That's, everybody watches the NBA. Think of the market of people that just still want to play. The market of people who want to play is much bigger than people who can play in the NBA.
Yeah,
so.
100%. And I feel like there's a lot of talent, you know, on local levels that, like you said, that don't make it even to college to play, let alone to the pros. And to go back a little bit, like, you're doing everything right. The uniforms, right? That just makes it even more legit. Then you have stats. Then you have the, like I said, the professional video, the professional photography. Like, that all piles on. So you're doing everything right. And now it's just a matter of, like, you know, imagine if you got a sponsor, like, semi-big sponsor or a sponsor or two. Then that just puts you at the next level. You know, and it just grows like that. And you, obviously, you're doing, like I said, doing it right, because now you have a demand of players that want to play, you know. Let me ask you this. Is there an age range?
Not necessarily. I mean, we've had people from 17, 18 in the league to all the way to my uncle who played, who was 65.
Whoa, shout out to your uncle, man. That's awesome.
Yeah. And he held his own. He did a great job.
Yeah.
But again, it's, you know, whoever is willing to play is more than welcome. And I don't want to make people, obviously with the younger kids, it's tough because their coaches, you know, don't want them exactly playing in a league over the summer if they're playing college. But a lot of times, I would say our demographic is like 18 to 30.
Okay. Let's take a sip break real quick.
Yeah, sorry.
I think I saw online that some local TV stations came out and like interviewed you or covered the sport and what you all are doing.
Yeah.
What's that like?
It's funny because year one when we were doing it, we reached out to WGAL. To see if they come out. We got no response.
So, really? They just shot you down like, nothing.
And this year, this past year they came out, which was awesome. And, you know, it is surreal when you're getting interviewed by them and you're thinking, wow, like, this is actually happening. Getting recognized, that's like a huge stepping stone to think, oh, you are getting recognized for all the work we've been putting in. It's finally happening. And to see all the guys on TV afterwards at 11 o'clock is just like, that's what you dream of. Yeah. And it's funny because the guy who did WGAL, Jacob Hall, who interviewed me and did the story, he was in our wiffle ball league. We asked him if he wanted to come out and join the wiffle ball league, and he played. And, you know, he had a great season. He played for our Cherry Pickers organization and did well. And then Fox 43 came out. That was awesome. Just great people. You know, they were just, I've always felt were genuinely interested in what they were asking me about and interviewing. So it was awesome to have them come out and have those stories still permanently cemented on, you know, the internet or with Lancaster Online, with John Walk interviewing. That was awesome too. You know, the newspaper, seeing your name in the newspaper, it doesn't get better than that.
Warm, fuzzy feelings for sure.
Yeah.
It'd be just, again, doing something right, and it's growing. So what is like the goal or the mission statement of the organization?
I would say to bring a professional-esque feel to the amateurs out there. What we say a lot, I said it as a joke, and then somebody just said, you should make that the slogan. Is, I said, if you can't make the league, make your own. That's what we're doing. We're trying to make it feel like you're in the NBA, but just at our own amateur level. I mean, those 130 guys, you could ask me, show me a picture of any of them, and I could name them. Like, I know everybody in the league.
Wow.
I consider us all friends. Yeah. And I think that's the way it should be. We're all, you know, hanging out Sundays. If you're not playing, you're sitting watching the games, having pizza, hanging out. We have people bring a six-pack of beers to watch the games. Nice. You know, it's just a nice hangout spot. And I think not only is it, you know, to bring the professional feel to the amateur level and have people feel like they're involved in something bigger than themselves, but also, you know, it's a camaraderie thing. You can be friends with everybody within the league. And, you know, that's, I think, a huge thing nowadays where people, you know, they see opponents as rivals and not want to deal with them. But now it's like, no, you can be friends with these people off the court. Now, I want some competitive games, but off the court, you can grab a slice of pizza with
them. And talk and and have fun with them. Exactly. So where does this all take place? Like Lancaster, you got Spooky Nook. Like, where are you guys playing?
So our games, if it's nice weather, we play them at our house. We have an outdoor basketball court that we play at. Which my parents built back in like 2012, 13.
Shout out to your mom and dad, they're awesome.
Yeah, they're incredible. It was, I mean, my dad will tell you the story. It was going to be a half court, and then there was a bunch of construction, and he just said, you know what, F it. If I'm going to go, I'm going to make a full court.
Go big or go home. Yeah.
And he built it, and
wow,
you know, we just utilized it ever since then, which is great. And if it rains, we play at, my parents run a foundation center, so we play, it was, I don't know if you're familiar with the JCC, the Old Jewish Community Center, but it's on Oregon Pike. And
I know where that is, Oregon Pike, yeah.
Yeah, so we, it's now the Emerald Foundation, and we play there. There's the gym inside there.
Nice,
But we play if it rains, but, you know, it, again, beyond lucky.
If you have these 300-some players that want to play for this season coming up, can you make it work where you're at now?
I talked to the Spooky Nook about it. I just put something up on our Instagram yesterday about it. So the way we're going to go about it is a legacy division, an A division, and a B division. The legacy would be everybody who's participated the past 3 years in our league is invited back. But for the most part, that legacy division is going to be invite only.
Nice.
Because, okay. I mean, if you think about the legal aspect of having 400 random people from who knows where showing up to your house,
right?
You know,
right.
It can be, it's a liability in some sense. So the A and B division is going to be at the Nook. I talked to them. We're trying to work out a deal. It'll be, you put your team in. It's not necessarily a draft. You'll get to pick your team, put them in. We'll have stats and everything for that. The A division for the more competitive people looking for something, you know, where it's the more high school feel, and the B division is, you know, just some guys who wanted to play and have an organized feel, but still want that professional feeling. Yeah. So that's our plan going forward. That's where I would say a lot of the people who are new coming into the league would fall in. But the legacy division is still kind of the one that'll be at our house.
At your house. Okay, yeah. Cool. And I feel like that's a great way to do it. You know, I mean, Spooky Nook, why not utilize them or try to partner with them in some way?
Yeah.
Because, again, amazing facility. I was just there over the weekend for, it was a volleyball game.
Mm-hmm.
And just, again, the atmosphere in there, the whole facility is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Everything you need is like right there. I feel like, well, there is. There's even a hotel, so you could technically live there. You never have to leave like Spooky Nook. Yeah. It's crazy. Wow. So, you know, again, to bring up the quote you just mentioned, because I had that on, that's one of my questions, because I think it's badass. And when I read that in your bio on Instagram, you know, if you can't make the league, make your own. I was like, whoa, like that's saying something, because that's literally what you're doing.
Yeah. You know, you're a kid growing up playing basketball. You always want to make the league, the NBA, you know, you want to be a part of the 76ers. It was always my huge dream. And not to say that ever went away.
Yeah. Like
if they were to call me up tomorrow, I'd want to play for them.
Heck yeah, but right,
it was something that I had in mind, because I think there's no reason why we shouldn't be able to do something like this where it's self-sustaining. So I have a lot of photographers who are reaching out to me who, you know, would work for free. They just want something to work on, to get exposure, to have something to show to their own potential employer. You know, hey, I shot at the BBAL. This is what I got. I can show you some stuff. Or, you know, someone who wants to be a sports analyst or a sports announcer, they can come to our league and write up a blog, or, you know, announce a game, do a podcast about how the games went down. And it's in that way, it's easier for me to have everybody kind of group together and create the BBAL for what it is now. And hopefully with the BFA on the BWAL, which helps it make it turn into the league. So,
the league. I love it. Yeah. Gosh, like I said, it's really cool to see what you're doing at such a young age too. And you can tell you're passionate about it. Like, I couldn't see you really doing anything else. Not saying you couldn't, but like, no. I feel like this is you. This is who you are.
Yeah.
Basketball, bringing people together, having a good time.
Yeah. I mean, I'm super, super passionate about it. It's like you said, I don't know if I could be doing anything else right now. This summer coming up, I always said what's going to be kind of, well, last summer I actually said it, but I said if it doesn't really expand past this, I'll try and get a job. But I wanted to give it one last go. And then since we grew last summer, I'm thinking, all right, well, you know, this will be the last one. If we can grow it, turn it into something else, then I'll keep going. But if not, then I'll get, you know, an actual job.
Yeah. right. Yeah. Yeah. This is, though, I mean, think about it. What you're doing is like next level intramural sports. Like, you're literally putting together teams and people from, like you said, all over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sure you get people not just from PA, but maybe even from New Jersey, from Maryland, you know, and it's really neat to see. So, like, how do people register, and what's like the cost involved, like for the jersey and everything? Give us a little bit of background on that. How can they apply? How can they enter a team? How does it work?
So this year we're going to be sending out our registrations mostly on Instagram. We just use Google Forms.
Nice.
And then you sign up through there, give an email. So for most people, you'll be putting a team in, and then the price is normally, last year we did around $50, which we're going to have to increase a bit, because I just wasn't able. I was taking a lot of out-of-pocket money, which is fine. You know, that's how you start your own business. Yeah. But, you know, with how we're doing, I think it's all right to increase the price. But the jerseys, you know, for our current league, we kept them, and my mom washed them all. Just because,
awesome.
We didn't want people showing up to a game and saying, oh, shoot, I forgot it. You know, we'll take care of that for you. And then those are kind of all the things that go into, you know, it's to pay for the refs, to pay for the camera crew, to pay for the jersey, to pay for, you know, if we have to rent court space, all those sorts of things go into registering. But the registration's easy. It'll just be on our story. We'll send a link. You know, I can DM you if you want the link, anything like that.
Yeah. And $50 sounds very reasonable. I mean, I would definitely say you could increase that.
Yeah.
$75, even $100, I feel like, because the jersey alone, from what I saw on Instagram, they're nice. They're nice quality. You know what I mean? It's not like a, what was it, back in middle school or even high school when you got those like pennies that were all just beat up, you know? It's they're really nice jerseys. What you guys got?
Yeah, we found a website. It's called Sports Gear Swag. And they, you know, ship them quick. They do a great job. You know, if they can't do a certain thing, they'll send me back a different alternate design. They're great. I ripped my jersey out of frustration. Need to work on my anger management skills.
What? Johnny, what are you talking about?
I was just
what
holding
happened?
It
Tell
at,
us the story.
Holding it at my collar. Yeah. Well, I was playing my brother, and prior to this, I haven't lost to my brother, and we were 0-2 to start the year.
Okay.
And
frustration building up.
You know, it was a lot of anger building up. And
was he trash talking?
he'll do a little bit, but sometimes my younger brother doesn't do it as much. He trash talks a lot of people, but he doesn't do it as much to me because he knows it, yeah. Like a lot of times with him, I laugh it off because he's just my younger brother.
Right.
So he doesn't say much, but you know, we were going to lose that game and I just grabbed my collar line and missed a shot and just like held it tight. And I'm like, I don't know. Do I want to do this? Do I want to do this? I just went for it and you hear it. And I ripped it down to pretty much the T in our Titans uniform.
Yeah.
My mom was not happy at all. But she says, that's what you get. You got to play the rest of the year with a ripped jersey. Look like a dummy.
like I said, your mom's awesome. That's great. Yeah. That's great. Yeah.
So, but again, I'm not the only person who's done that, by the way. So there's two of us in the league who have a ripped jersey. So I may be starting a trend. I hope it's not a trend, honestly, because then that's what that'll be an issue. Starting a trend.
The V-line jersey, you know, yeah. V-neck jersey. I mean, you know,
yeah.
That'd be wild. So now what do you see as the future?
I think with the leagues that we're doing, I would hope to just, you know, merge with somebody to become the biggest amateur sports league in the world. That's what I hope. That's my dream. I think there's huge potential for it. We already have a great following, great group of guys around us who are all super invested. And I think we have the ability to turn this into something bigger than just Lancaster, but, you know, across the country. And everybody's interested in playing sports. I don't understand why you would, you know, for the regular person, if you're going to pay similar prices for one league, just giving you the bare bones and we're going to go over the top for you. I think, you know, most people would choose going over the top. Yeah. So that's kind of the goal to go forward, to just grow, expand, be bigger than what we are now.
It's a no brainer.
Yeah,
you know, for sure. So now how can our listeners connect with you and follow along on your journey?
So we have an Instagram, under the Besker Basketball American League. Our logo is, I don't know if you can throw up our logo, but it's on my chest and on the socks here. We have a website you can follow that'll have the stats, the blogs. We have a Twitter, and on our Twitter, we have a bunch of burners that tweet out stuff. People hiding behind, you know, a fake name to say there's trade reports. We have all sorts of things there. And our YouTube is where we put up our live stream. And
nice.
We do a thing called the Sport Court Report. Which we go each week and dive into the week. And
I love that name, Sport Court Report.
Yeah, my cousin came up with it. It was a great name. We were searching for one, and that was the one that worked.
That's a good one.
And, we just kind of do our own little, like, sports center for the week to review. So
cool. Awesome. Yeah. And, yes, I will put links to your website and all that in the show notes at the bottom. So for the listeners, you guys want to check it out. There will also be photos up on American Girl Podcast, Facebook and Instagram, and so forth. So before we close out, is there anything else you'd like the listeners to know?
I'd like you guys to know that Austin does a great podcast. He does.
Oh, thanks, Johnny.
Yeah,
thank you, man.
Yeah. It's very professional. He does a great job. Tune in this May for our league. I'm really, really excited. We're going to try and go over the top with, you know, our live stream. We may have two angles. We may have four photographers at one game. So we're going to try and do a lot this year, and I'm really excited for it. Really, really, really pumped. So,
like you said off air, I do some sports photography. I'd love to come out.
Yeah,
I don't even want to pay. I don't need money. I just want to come out, shoot, just be a part of this experience, you know. And, I didn't even tell you, I showed you some of the pictures up there. I'd photographed at Madison Square Garden.
Oh, my gosh.
For Louisville men's basketball.
That's awesome.
And just such a neat experience.
I need to go there.
Yeah, it was so cool. First time being there, I was on the floor. My father-in-law has a lot of connections down in Louisville. So shout out to John Garloff, Johnny. He's also a Johnny. So real cool. And, I'd love to be a part of this and get you some photos. And like I said, don't ask me for video, but the photography I can cover. So, Johnny Besseker, president of BAL on the American Girl Podcast in the Color Tech Creative Solutions Studios. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a review. To see photos of today's guests and more content, just search American Grown Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.
If you'd like to be a featured guest on the podcast, please direct message or email Austin at AmericanGrownPod@gmail.com.
This episode was brought to you by these sponsors.
Cleona Coffee Roasters is a small batch coffee roastery and coffee shop, veteran and first responder owned, community oriented, and roasted fresh to order. Now open inside 911 Rapid Response, Anvil, PA. go to KelownaCoffeeRoasters.com to order online, see updated hours, and find where you can buy it close to you.
Triggered 22 LLC, a veteran-owned apparel company. By purchasing a t-shirt, hat, or hoodie from Triggered 22, you're not only supporting a small business, but you're bringing awareness to veteran PTSD and suicide. Please help save the lives of those who fought for our freedoms. Visit triggered22.com now and place your order. Let's help those suffering from invisible wounds.